Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, good Tuesday, everybody, and welcome into the End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score. 100.7thescore.com. We'll take you up until noon today and then hand you off to the Bottom Line Boys. This is a Hax Collier and Lucas edition of the program. Back in the First United Bank Studios, off of location yesterday, a whole lot of fun up at Lubbock Country Club, getting to talk to the celebrities, the coaches, and eventually some former players. It's a good day to touch base. After I had done my hour with Tim Tadlock, I was like, man, pretty good day we had. McGuire, McCaslin, Gerlich, Morris, and then Tadlock all in one day.
Yeah, you covered it all. I mean,
it's good.
Notwithstanding a handful of great interviews out there, like a Tom Stone, but Tom has his time. He's probably relaxing. He's probably listening.
Running around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw last night at Rudy's, Robert Giovanetti had just gotten off the golf course. They were spinning around the Rawls yesterday. I think he and maybe Kirby. And so the golf clubs were busy yesterday in this town. A lot of striking of the old golf ball.
Even our buddy from the AJ that we don't see that much anymore was out golfing yesterday. Carlos Silva.
No kidding.
Yeah. Maybe that's all he does these days, just plays golf.
I saw Los, it was either Saturday or Sunday up at Rip Griffin Park in passing. See him a lot less than we used to with his exit from the basketball beat, but, man, used to see him all the time. That was a tradition that we had when they were allowed to sit down low behind the scorer's table. I would always go down and lean in and say, what's your score? So we'd always give our predictions. And most of the time, if you're playing in that place, it was a, I predicted Texas Tech victory. How's it going?
Yeah. Good. A little.
You're more feathered than usual.
Yeah, well, yesterday was a mess. I was out in that wind, and it I had to basically wet it down, make sure it wouldn't blow away, you know, Bill Self style. It's all fake up there. It's just glued down.
Duck tail. Woo!
I don't know how we're going to top yesterday, though. Yeah, exactly.
Just straight up.
At least we can look at Lucas this time around. We've got that teddy bear hat over there.
Yeah. Lucas, I drove by after the show yesterday, and there were already about 7 buses at your other place.
Yeah, I was hanging out with some of my other coworkers, and his girlfriend was working there at the time, and she was stressing out.
Oh,
they had about 600 kids there on a Monday afternoon. I was like, yeah, glad I wasn't working that day.
Nothing says it's approaching Christmas or approaching the end of school like 7 to 8 buses at ME. You can just look down there and go, oh, yeah, they're close. They're close to being out of jail.
All the tests are done. They've finished everything they need to in a curriculum. It's time to let the kids run wild, be tired by the end of the afternoon at school, and do it all over again. Only a couple more weeks to go. We're almost there.
All you hear about are these star tests and map tests and this kind of test, and I'm like, golly. So.
Yeah, some form of them going on at school today, so at least some schools.
Brooks doing any track?
Well, track's over. He was part of track, air quotes. Our track middle school. They don't it's so funny. They don't crown like champions. I guess they do at the very end. Like each meet they don't do champions of a team, but this middle school has most of the better track athletes, so they win every single meet. So they were whatever. They call them city champions of the 7th grade class. this past year, but they wrapped that up a couple.
The boys
weeks
got
ago.
A track meet, which he hasn't been a part of track, but he's doing a track meet Thursday. I can't figure this out. FMS.
Yeah, maybe that's the sixth grade city meet or whatever.
Maybe so.
Because I know seventh grade was a couple weeks ago.
Didn't find out too terribly much last night, which I didn't think we would. A sense of frustration, but not panic, over with Texas Tech baseball. It was our smallest crowd in a long time.
Yeah.
There was a small birthday party going on in the dining hall, which, you know, normally wouldn't fit, but it's understandable. I mean, I think people are the expectations are still, you know, Omaha or bust, not for this year, but like at the start of every year. That's what we expect, to host a regional, to be a part of a super and have a chance to go to Omaha. Coming off of six straight conference losses, all the injuries, all the frustrations, you can see why the crowd would be down. Tim Tadlock didn't seem down. Again, he seemed to me to be frustrated with some of the way that they've handled this season, the way that some of the players have handled this season. It's not like finger pointing, like, you know, this is it's this person's fault, or it's completely, I think,
yeah,
it's one of those acceptance of fault to be everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, like, we could have done this way, we could have done this better, they could have done this better, we could, you know.
Yeah, and he kind of mentioned that with Pompey specifically in the post game on Sunday, how maybe he, you know, gave him the benefit of the doubt a little too long and thought that he could turn things around specifically just in that weekend series. I mean, I'm sure it was, you know, more than just that. But, yeah, it's kind of a realization of where you are right now, because I remember a couple of weeks ago, you know, the talk was RPI really doesn't matter as long as we go out there and take care of business. Well, two series later, when you haven't taken care of business, the reality sets in that the likelihood of everything that is an expectation around Texas Tech baseball is probably not going to happen this year. And if you don't figure something out over the next 5 days, you might be making one more road trip out west to Tempe and then calling it a season.
I mean, listen, that's a serious possibility, because when you get in situations like you're in here with this decline, it's hard to pull out of that dive. The injuries have mounted to where now I think you're very handcuffed with your personnel. You're going up to a place where they still have a lot to play for. They're trying to be a host, right? So if you drop those, now you got to wait. And Baylor knows going into that next weekend, boys, all we got to do is win three. Now it's against UCF, but it's at home. Baylor's been playing better than UCF. I'm telling you, it's a possibility. Don't want it to be, but it's there.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hope you're having a great Tuesday here on 100.7 The Score. 100.7thescore.com. The Hacks Collier and Lucas edition of the program. So we take you through all the way up until noon. Good day to be in the LBK. Texas Tech baseball going to take off on Thursday in the morning on the bus. That's a busser up to Stillwater.
Mm-hmm. How long is that? How many stops you make?
On that one, you'll go two stops on a bus. Bathroom snack break and a lunch break.
It's not too bad, I guess.
Probably luncher in UConn-ish, somewhere around there.
How many bus trips would that make this year? Two? Three?
Man, I don't even know.
I guess you missed some early.
Well, we're never on the bus.
So you guys just
rent a
car and drive?
Yeah. We're never on it. Yeah. We used to be.
Okay.
We got kicked off. Not enough room for us anymore.
No. Let them spread out.
Yeah. And Jamie and I were, but we were at the end of our ropes on that deal, which is like, we're too old for this.
Yeah. If you can rent a car and do it yourself, you can get back a lot faster anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge part of it. That'll be a total of 7 to get there. Hey. But Waco, Austin, Fort Worth, on this trip, Fayetteville, on this year, Fayetteville, from Fort Worth. Norman, Stillwater, all bus. K-State, KU, West Virginia, Houston. Houston may be a flight, I'm not sure. Maybe a bus.
That's a long bus ride.
Uh-huh.
Man. Yeah. No, thank you. I'll do it in the car all by myself. But...
Yep. I'm taking the boy.
Oh, nice.
He's going to be able to come up in the press box with me and
credentialed media.
Check that out. Yep. Yep. He's
the life of a spotter.
He's a grip.
Yeah.
His dad's back's gone, so he gets to heave all the stuff. What do you got with our Big 12 football strength O schedules? This is interesting.
Yeah, so it's I'll be honest, it's one of the 5 million different college football outlets, I guess, but College Football Network released their strength of schedule for the entirety of college football today. So, whoa. One all the way to, 300? What do we got these days?
So, it didn't separate conference-wise?
It does separate conference-wise, so I have that as well, but I wanted to give the actual total number because I don't think they went all the way through. Yeah, they did.
Is Notre Dame in the top 10?
134. In toughest schedule?
Yeah.
You want to guess who 134 is before I scroll away from that?
Easiest?
Toughest.
Toughest.
Toughest schedule in...
OU?
Get out of here. No, that would be the Air Force Falcons, the easiest schedule in the country, according to College Football.
Now, you're really confusing me here.
The toughest schedule, so the hardest schedule...
Yes.
Would... Or I'm sorry, the easiest schedule. Sorry, Air Force has the easiest schedule. That's my bad. The toughest schedule would be... I'm trying to find Notre Dame for you, so I totally messed up my... So, yes, the easiest schedule in college football. The toughest schedule would be the Florida Gators. I don't have the entire thing in front of me, but Florida State at Florida State being their toughest one. Oklahoma 3, according to this outlet. With the funniest
part... See, that's what I was trying to say.
I know. That's what I'd get for scrolling and typing and trying to think all at one time. Let's be honest. That's too much for me.
Scroll, type, think.
The best part about this, and maybe I should have looked at it beforehand, it says at Ole Miss is Oklahoma's toughest game.
Mm.
They play at LSU. They do have Bama at home, but at Ole Miss probably will be pretty tough as well. All of them are tough for Oklahoma, but yeah, so number one is Florida. All right, Big 12 schools, I want you to... This is tough because you don't know. Maybe where do you think the Red Raiders sit in the Big 12 as far as strength
of schedule? I would say...
We talked about how friendly the schedule looks for the Red Raiders.
Not knowing the Utah, Arizona State, really any of that, I'm going to do a guess of Texas Tech has the third easiest schedule in the Big 12.
They are at 9 in the conference, so technically the 9th toughest schedule in the conference. Houston with the toughest schedule, according to, they do play Oklahoma, I'm pretty sure.
They do.
I think Oklahoma switched that. So they have Oklahoma on that schedule. So I guess that's what makes it super tough. Eye roll. I was surprised that Texas Tech wasn't lower, to be honest with you. There are 6, 7 teams that have easier schedules than the Red Raiders, according to this publication.
So who are those?
The 10th, we'll start from the bottom up. Actually, we'll go from 10 down. Utah, the 10th toughest schedule. Utes probably one of the favorites to win the conference, right? I would imagine. I would pick them as one of the teams that were playing for the conference
title. Them and K-State.
Yeah. UCF, the 11th toughest, according to College Football Network. Oklahoma State, 12. Iowa State, 13. I like the way your face is looking, the confusion. Cincinnati, 14. Arizona, 15. And Kansas, according to this publication, the easiest schedule in the Big 12 Conference.
So they're saying that the Texas Tech schedule is tougher than the Oklahoma State schedule?
Yeah. I don't know Oklahoma State schedule, but I find that very hard to believe. They say Houston has the toughest schedule in the Big 12 Conference, followed by Colorado, Arizona State, West Virginia, Kansas State, TCU, BYU, and Baylor. I need to pull up half of these schedules to get familiar with them, right. But I would love to see a schedule, and this is not – I mean – the schedule is the schedule.
All right, so OSU opens up with the defending FCS national champions, South Dakota State. I know you're like, okay, whatever.
Well,
but those sons of guns can jump up and bite you, I'm
telling
you.
What was that, Central Michigan or something like that a few years back? I mean, it's probably been 8 years now, but.
I was there.
Yeah.
Arkansas at home, Tulsa at Tulsa, then Utah home at K-State, West Virginia, at BYU, at Baylor, Arizona State at home, at TCU.
I think you've got five easy ones in a row that you've just said there.
Home Texas Tech, at Colorado, and then the Big 12 Championship.
I think there's a lot of easy games on that schedule. Utah is at home, at least. Kansas State on the road, tough. Texas Tech at home should be tough. The rest of the West Virginia, okay. Well, I'll give you West Virginia. Is that at home?
Yeah.
Okay. You've got.
And they've traditionally beat up on West Virginia.
You've got your three toughest conference games all at home. Utah.
What's TCU going to be like, man?
They're going to be crap.
You think?
Yes.
Good.
They're going to be crap, right, Lucas?
Yes.
I don't think TCU is going to be.
I really don't either. Yeah.
Yeah. I have no faith in what the Horned Frogs will be.
What about the Belor Bears?
The Belor? Oh, yeah, no, I'm not. Even though I love Dave Aranda, I don't know that. This is where we play the music.
Yeah, come on. Inspirational.
You don't even have it. You don't even have a high key of Dave Aranda giving us deep thoughts.
No, deep My thoughts. Goodness. Meditative.
The Aranda Panda. No, I don't have high hopes for what Baylor is going to do either.
Okay.
We should roll through.
I think the Tech schedule is more manageable and easier than the OSU schedule.
Maybe it's the one road trip to Pullman, just because it's a road trip, a pretty far road trip. But I agree with you. I think Texas Tech should be a little bit further down on that a lot bit further down on that list, maybe. I got to find Notre Dame for you before we hit the end of the hour here. They've got the number one independent strength of schedule. Wow. I didn't do the nationally. Texas Tech has the 40th toughest schedule in the nation, right in front of your Fighting Irish. 41st.
My Fighting Irish.
What you asked
My
about.
Gold Domers.
Yeah, your Gold Domers. Toughest game versus Florida State. Easiest game against Stanford.
Okay. Poor Stanford. Just falling off everything. Whee!
Bring Harbaugh back.
What a fall. All right, that's hour number one. Hour number two coming up right around the corner here on The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Yo, it's the end of the bench here on 100.7 The Score, 100.7thescore.com. Congratulations to Boyd Clements. He won $250 today, courtesy of the Raymar Stations, 93.7, double T 97.3, sorry. And the Home Zone, helping you make your house a home. Also sponsor our doubles on the broadcast, which we were tremendously good at for most of the season, and it slowed down a little bit. I tried to, there's just so much speaking in generalities when it comes to baseball coaches, I think, in general. And when you're on for an hour with them, you're going to see you're going to get a lot of coach speak.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to probe into, because I know I've never really heard the man raise his voice. Okay. But I know that there are motivational do better talks.
Yes.
Okay. Seen him from a distance, been kind of close to him. But the man doesn't really have to get demonstrative to get his point across. But I was trying to say, hey, do you remind these guys that 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, whatever it is,
yeah,
you swept Virginia and we were all sitting around here talking about possibly hosting. Do you remind them that, hey, you were a pretty darn good baseball team, even with all the adversity that's gone on? And he's like, oh, well, we might try that. I was like, okay, well, whatever you think is best. But then it goes into, it's just, day by day and pitch by pitch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I was like, just wanting to rattle the cage a little bit,
That's why he is who he is, though.
I know.
He probably wants to say it, but he's just going to shut it down and go right back into the other mode. I mean, he was asked about that the other day about, did you see this coming after the way you guys were playing against West Virginia? He's like, no. And then he goes, now, the way we played, yeah. I mean, I could see it coming after, it was all coach speak stuff, but you could see, or you could tell, the frustration was there, but he immediately goes back into coach speak. But that's the thing, though. You know that he does do it, and maybe it's just not working because a lot of these guys haven't heard it from him, one. But I have no doubt that he does it, but it's probably not at a level that you – it's not an Augie Garrido go crazy level. But when he does do it, it has to shock the system a little bit because – and maybe he does it all the time. We just don't know, But it doesn't seem like that with his demeanor. I would like to hear one of them.
I would, too.
I mean, I think I would thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
It would just be a completely different side of him.
Well, one of the reasons why I think it's done quite a bit, the do better speeches, but it's done at a pretty quiet volume, It's just – and, of course, the standard – of all do better baseball college rants is Augie Garrido, which I would love to play, but every other word is a curse word.
It's hard to.
Tom Holliday standing in the background, and Augie is losing his mind.
Yeah, you can find it. Go to YouTube and.
Make sure you're not at work with the volume up really high or. But so we get on the plane, and the players are playing that rant.
Yeah,
I'm like, something had to spur that along.
Yeah,
you just got swept by Kansas. And there's two separate rants that are on that reel.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, they're out in right field. I think after losing to K-State or Kansas, something like that, and. That my favorite line is like, if this were a fist fight or a knife fight or some kind of fight. He's like, which most of you guys know nothing about, we would be dead.
Yeah, and then the one in the locker room.
This is our lives.
Yeah.
This is our, damn it.
You'd feel pretty bad after he walked out after that one, or you'd be like, yeah.
I'm sorry. I have failed you guys in every way. I'm sorry.
I don't see Tim going to that extent, but there's got to be a little.
How do I get picked off of first base? Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you have to. And rest in peace. Again, time moves fast because Augie's no longer with us. So, I don't know.
What? I wanted to ask you this, and I didn't know the best name. I mean, I have a, not necessarily a solution, but an idea. What do you do? Like, do you make that move at second base? Do you put, I mean.
You have to.
But, I mean, look, if you put somebody else there, one, who do you put there? I have an idea who you put there. Who do you put there? And then do you worry about the ramifications of benching that person once the season's over?
Are you saying it's too late and you might as well ride with, ride or die? Because, like, if you want to win games, you can't have him on the field right now.
No, I agree.
It's already cost several.
Yeah, and he said as much on Sunday. Probably rode with him a little too long. And then in other instances he was talking about giving extra at-bats, giving an extra 90 feet. I mean, there was clearly references to a bunch of errors, which obviously we know TJ had over the weekend, and his struggles to the plate that continue. So who do you switch him with? Who do you put there?
I think I'm bringing in Green to play at second base. I think Damian Bravo is going to be back. I wonder about Owen Washburn. He's fine in right field. I mean, you can construct something, surely, still with what you have, where you can't just magically create stuff now is off of all your injured arms. I mean, Parker Hutera is going to become your Sunday starter, I would think. And so you can't just like magically fix that band-aids wise, but I do think you can still band-aid something together in the field.
Yeah.
At the plate.
And I agree. Why not move him in? He played there last year. He's kind of a guy you can trust at this point, and you need somebody you can lean on at this point. And, you know, Gage has been better, right? I mean, at least you know you can rely on his defense in the outfield.
That's what I'm saying. You can, we can find something that'll work out there. More coming up.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Boyd Clements made $250 this morning as a Tuesday 5-7. That's a May 7th winner of our local cash contests by entering the secret word. Coming up in 14 minutes, we will give you today's secret word. A Hacks Collier and Lucas edition of this program. This is not a pop quiz, but just a little fun to think about what your future may look like when you retire to Idaloo.
Yeah, I was about to say the paycheck that I'm pulling in.
Mm-hmm. You Idaloo, me.
Mine would be shallow water.
Shallow water. Yeah, yeah, I think we'd both be in shallow water. Yeah. Shallow water. Hey, you get to retire to beautiful Clinton, Oklahoma.
I'll just keep working.
Best places to retire in 2024. Do you got any idea? These are
all over the world.
Exotic countries, I guess. Some big, some small.
So we got islands in there. How about
vacation hotspots? Yeah, I mean, there's only 10 here. And this is, again, according to World of Statistics.
Why would you want to retire to a vacation hotspot? Well, so you've got all of the riffraff showing up, and
yeah,
I don't know that.
Well, I think you can find a place that's isolated enough to get away from the tourists.
Well, see, my problem is my world geography is not great. That's one. New Zealand. Nobody's bugging me there.
Should be on there. We're about to get dual citizenship, so when everything hits the fan here, we can move to New Zealand. My dad.
So no, not on there.
My dad's got dual citizenship. Yeah. And so now, nope, it should be.
Switzerland.
I think warmer.
I know, it's all warmer. Cancun.
That's not a... That's,
no, I'm just picking a place.
But, okay, Mexico.
Mexico,
that's,
yeah.
That's on the list.
Yeah.
Three.
What's two and one? I would throw Hawaii on there, but again, I know that's not
Lucas,
a country.
You want to stab at any of these countries?
Bahamas.
Not on the list. I think Bahamas is where it gets clubbed pretty hard is the crime and expense.
Yeah.
So expensive. Costa Rica is one.
Okay.
Portugal is two. Mexico, three. Panama, four. Spain, five. Ecuador, six. Greece, seven. Malaysia, eight. France, nine. And this one, boys, I got no answer for you. Colombia.
Yeah, see, and
from our own Colombian. Yeah. He's like, that's right.
Nothing real really on that list excites me. So,
I think Costa Rica.
I mean, maybe Costa Rica. Okay, number one on the list, and then we can shut it down. I don't know. I don't want to be that isolated that much and then have to deal with all the tourists. I'm totally fine just going there for a week and then coming back home. I think we've realized on the boring meter, I'm pretty close to Jamie on that list, right? If not way past him. I would rather live in New Zealand. I would rather live in, I think, Holland, Switzerland.
Italy.
I don't know if I would like
I think
Italy.
I would like to...
The older I get, the more I get down with being cold. And so, I think Scandinavia.
I don't want to be ridiculously
Sweden,
cold, but...
Finland. Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about living with Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I'm talking about... where there's some mountains and some snow. I'm getting better and better with that. Let's hit some burning questions.
2 minutes of nonstop in-your-face inquiries with no end in sight. It's time now for Burning Questions.
All right. This is a little intrusive here, but I want a truthful answer. Come September 1st, is the Texas Tech baseball coaching staff the same?
Yikes. Like 100%, there could be, I would say, let's go with, man, that group has been together forever.
They are tight.
I know. That's why I'm going to say no. I mean, yes, it's going to be exactly the same. I'm saying it's not changing. I think if one changes, a lot changes.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
So if there's changes... there might be a lot of changes that we really don't want to deal with. And I'm not suggesting that's going to be the case, but if changes have to be made, it might be way more than people actually.
So kind of like a domino effect.
I'm not saying this is going to happen, but
yeah,
the guy that is in charge is going to fight for all of his guys, and I don't think he's going to want to let any of his guys go.
And I'm not extending this down to, like, Ray. I mean, Ray's had a heart transplant
and a
kidney transplant.
No, I wasn't even counting Ray. Yeah. I know he's part of it, but I was more saying Eric, Joe, and up.
Mm-hmm.
Gardner, J-Bob, Tim. I just think it's very hard for him to change that circle.
What is the most beautiful thing your eyes have laid on as far as the world? Like, for me, it's just north of Anchorage, Alaska, headed towards Alyeska Mountain. That was the most pretty thing I've ever seen.
I've probably mentioned this numerous times, but when I lived in Okinawa, just being at the ocean, I don't even know where, you know, I was so young. Oh. Hey, let's just go to the beach, and just being able to walk and see how far you were walking out, and you could see the sand below you, and then you could see the drop off, but the water being blue, crystal clear, warm. I mean, just, I would love to go back to Japan just to experience that. And just, you want to talk about a place that I would like to hang out and live? Probably there. So, yes, the beaches in Okinawa, Japan.
I would say the beach that I went to in Honduras, crystal clear water, wild horses running on the coastline. It was amazing. Definitely a experience I'll never forget. So it was really, really cool.
I will say this. Whenever we went to Pebble Beach and Spyglass, we drove around and just seeing the deer and kind of like the whatever the marine layer. I mean, just going through that golf course and how, I mean, tranquil. I mean, it was just very calming just to see the deer just chilling. You're driving your car by them. I would love to just go walk the golf course. Mm-hmm. Living out there, not having the money to live out there, that would be pretty cool as well.
Do you have a prized possession?
No.
No?
Not really. I mean,
like, the house is on fire, I got to get this?
No, it'd probably be...
Not Brooks, I'm not talking.
Pictures and stuff like that. I mean, it would more be stuff like that. No, I don't have anything that's... I need to take with me.
Lucas, do you have a prized possession?
Not anymore. I used to.
Well, it's not prized if you don't have it anymore. What
happened?
Well,
okay, so I sold it to buy Casey's engagement ring.
Oh, okay. Well,
so,
well, he just dunked on me there, boy.
Yep,
just
exactly.
Right in my face.
Yep.
Yeah, so not currently, but I did in the past. So, but I consider it an upgrade, obviously. So,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's the funniest person you know?
Funniest person I know. Eric Kelly was pretty funny. Probably Ty King. He does a podcast here in town. He's a goofball. He used to work at KCBD. Just off the top of my head, of somebody here locally, I'd probably go with that I actually know.
No. Okay, those are the burning questions for today. The word of the day coming up next, along with more from the Yates Flooring Center chat line as we take you through hour number two on closer to hour number three of the End of the Bench, the old EOB here on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
One more to go here on 100.7 The Score, 100.7thescore.com. Hacks, Collier, and Lucas edition of this program. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Rangers baseball coming up today at 2 on Double T 97.3 against Oakland. They won yesterday. Astros and the Yanks. 5:35, 100.7 The Score. So we'll have all of our shows out of the way. Plenty of time for the bottom line to get in. Get your questions into the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I'm not sure what this guy's getting at. I can't figure it out. I can't peg it. Was Jalen Brunson really good in college the year they played against Texas Tech?
Did Jalen Brunson not play against him? I don't remember.
Well, no, yeah, he played.
Yeah, I'm confused by
that. But there was something earlier from the same person, I think.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I don't.
Heck yeah, he played.
Oh. No, you in yeah.
Yeah. Best player on the court.
I don't remember. I don't understand. Yeah, this is the
best
same
player in the country.
I don't. Yeah, I'm just confused by the line of questioning.
Mm-hmm. Like, is he saying that We don't know anything about the NBA. We just know about Jalen Brunson because we watched him play in college. You know what, buddy? I could buy that. I could buy that argument all day long. But when you sit courtside and you're just a couple feet from him and you watch him lead a team to a national championship, that does file away in your mind the experience of how good Jalen Brunson is.
Have I thought about Jalen Brunson since? No. I mean, I'd obviously seen him and the Knicks have been good, but it's not like I'm watching Knicks basketball. Hey, you remember when Greg Doyle acted really weird? Double G's, triple G's. He was suspended for 2 weeks, and he will not be allowed to cover any Indiana Fever games in person this summer. Which, as excited as he was, I'm guessing that will be pretty tough on him. But at least something was done there, right? It was kind of weird.
I think it definitely made everybody uncomfortable. It was definitely unprofessional. I mean, in no world that we are a part of, should you say something like that to any female athlete who has put herself up in the public eye and like, hey, make those eyes at me, baby. It was basically what he did. There's a way to act. It's pretty easy, David. I mean, how many females have you worked with?
Yeah, quite a few. Yeah.
Probably 40. Like, just on your team. It's pretty easy. I covered the sport for 11 years. Be kind. Be professional. Keep your nose out of everybody's business. Call a game. Start bench cut. Kansas State, Missouri. Thank you, Tweepe.
What are we, football?
I think just institutions. So you can lump in fans, sports, whatever you want to do.
Well, I was originally going to go to Missouri out of high school, but I didn't have enough money for the out-of-state tuition. After going multiple times, I would say that I wouldn't want to go to Missouri. We're just going to get in trouble for this. I'm probably going to go Kansas State, and then cut Missouri. Get out of here, Missouri. I know that will at least endear me to two people in this building, and that's about it. But I've also been to Manhattan. I don't want to go there again. I didn't like Manhattan.
Manhattan and Stillwater have the most similarities. And Kansas State and Oklahoma State are very similar.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think Kansas and Oklahoma have tons of similarities.
Yeah.
So I can see where we're going with this.
It makes sense for both of us.
Kansas State start, Kansas on the bench. I really don't have that much against Kansas at all. I do have a lot against Missouri. Missouri, way, way cut.
No, I agree. I mean, they got lucky to move to the SEC because somebody needed to be pulled with them. And they think they're better than everybody else because they're in the SEC, and they made it to two SEC championship games because they got put on the wrong side of the conference. Yeah, cut Missouri.
Benchwarmers, what is your prediction for the Mavs Thunder series? I have Oklahoma City in six. I also have the Stars in six.
I don't know anything about the Stars, so I couldn't tell you one thing about that. I know Josh Young was there the other night. That's about my extent of the Stars. I mean, I want the Thunder to win, but I have no clue. I mean, you're barking up the wrong tree here.
Okay, I'm gonna go with some sevens here, going all the way. I'm gonna go Thunder in seven, and I'm gonna go Avs in seven. Benchwarmers, would you please list the basketball players picked up this far through the portal potty? I'm terrible with this till they get on campus. It's
yeah.
It's easier to remember Federico. Was it Elijah Hawkins?
Yes.
Minnesota, right?
Yep.
Okay. One of the top assisters in the country, averaging over 7 assists a game. Leader, true point guard. They picked up a high schooler.
Yeah,
Leon from DFW.
Horner,
yeah, yesterday. Okay, so
I know a guy from UNC Wilmington was visiting yesterday.
The great Osabor was in town yesterday. Mm-hmm. Big. Oh god, that would just be massive for more than one reason. Overton?
Yes.
From
Kevin
Drake.
Overton, Drake, yeah.
Scorer. Long guard. That's the thing that we're seeing, okay, over the summer. The Red Raiders, if you picture like a graphic of a basketball player, and he's got his wingspan, and he's just standing there like this, and his jersey, it's like, you know, what was it, Super Mario, where he would eat the, and he'd go, mm-hmm. you know, and he'd get bigger.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Tech basketball's doing.
Well, you can.
They're eating the mushroom or drinking the potion and getting longer and getting, I think, a lot more athletic.
And if you missed our interview with Grant McCaslin yesterday out at the golf course, you can find it on 100.7 The Score's Twitter page, I think,
right
now.
I also retweeted it.
Yeah, we both retweeted it, and he talks about the length that they have, the difference you're going to see from this basketball team from this past year to this year. I mean, he talked about Federico, what was it, like 9.5 reach vertically. I mean, tippy toes touching the rim. Yeah.
Dunks and blocks.
Yep.
You know what dunks and blocks do? Yes, they help you win basketball games, but they ignite the USA.
Yes.
Block shot up into the second row. Place goes bananas. Block shot leads to a run out and a dunk. Place goes crazy. Then that turns maybe the whole tide of a game. And that's why Tariq Owens, when I saw him in his first practice, I said, you're going to be huge here. Because you make those kind of plays. The high-flying dunks, high-flying blocks. People are going to love you. Over, under, Tadlock ever having an Augie Garrido-esque speech from South Texas Ambassador Preston? Way under.
Yeah. Not to that level, anyway.
Yeah. His engine doesn't run that way. He just doesn't get that hot. And he's got some perspective. You know, another thing, just to leave this about how, you know, hard life is and how hard it is to win college baseball games. Saturday morning, he missed some of the batting practice because he put one of his best friends in the grave. We had a funeral that morning, a former roommate and former teammate, friend. He was only 55 years old. Showed up to the ballpark and then coached a game. So, anyway, just a note on how tough it can be. Thanks for listening today. For Collier and Lucas, I'm Hax. Have a great Tuesday, and the bottom line is next.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.